As we look at a passage here that I believe is pretty familiar. And this is a miracle that Jesus did. And this is the first of its kind that he did, but it wasn't the only time that he did it. And that is Jesus feeding the multitude. And this is a unique miracle. And I think it's a unique miracle because there is teaching that keeps coming back to this miracle. And we'll see that in a little while. That there is emphasis by Jesus to keep looking to this. And really this miracle that we're going to see here today, this feeding of the 5,000, well, what we know to be 5,000, but was most likely a lot more than that. This miracle that is happening here was a way of showing them a side of Jesus they had not seen before. And not only showing them the power of Jesus, but also showing them the heart of Jesus. We see Jesus' heart moved to help this crowd of people that are before him. And so we're going to take a look at this passage here this morning. Have you ever been in your life in need? Right? I think we all have, right? If you're human, there's times in your life where you come in need, right? You come in need, whether it's financial help, whether it's physical help, whether it's whatever it might be. You can think of all the different ways. We all have need. That's a mark of being a human, is you have need. But where you meet that need is the determining factor in the life of a believer. Is the world finds many ways to meet their needs that's not pleasing to the Lord. But as believers, you and I have the source of where we can meet our need, but oftentimes we have trouble getting there. And that's because we often have devices and results and solutions that keep us away from going to the source who can meet our need instead of trusting in him completely. And so this morning I want to talk to you about my help. We all need Jesus in our lives. And more than the physical needs in our lives, there is a desperate spiritual need. And it's a spiritual need that does not go away. Can we all agree today? The spiritual need in our life, it doesn't go away. Every day we need Jesus. Every day we need God's help in our lives. Every day we need the help of the Holy Spirit working through us, encouraging us, and moving through us. Yes, we need help at the day that we come to the Lord and find salvation. We need that help. But we also need ongoing help day by day. And no one becomes, or let me put it this way, no one stays or becomes a Christian just by living on idle. It takes a pursuit of Jesus. It takes this keep going after Jesus, keep running. It's just like anything in your life. If you just set it and forget it, eventually it'll crash and burn. And it takes attention. It takes nurturing. And oftentimes it comes by this continual recognition that I have need in my life. And yes, it's a spiritual need, but also I might have other needs in my life. You might come into a situation in your life, you're laid off from your job. You need a job. How's that going to work out for you? How's that going to come about? Some we could go in and pursue every avenue possible, or we could just stop and pray and say, but Jesus, I need you. You might have a bill that's come up unexpected and it's put tremendous financial stress on you. And you think, how in the world am I going to meet this? And we can worry and worry and worry about it, or we can go to Jesus and say, but Lord, you meet all of my needs. And while simple as this may be, you'll find today that in this culture that Jesus was teaching it in, and it has not changed since then, is that we have a tendency to forget who meets our needs. We have a tendency to let go so easily of Jesus who can meet all of our needs. So this morning, I want to talk to you about my help. We're going to look at this, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. The Bible says that when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. Notice here that the Bible says that the crowds followed him. The crowds followed him. Jesus had not yet given them food. He'd healed the sick. He'd done other miracles before them. But there was something about Jesus that captivated this multitude. There was something about this this multitude that said, we don't want to stop following him. We want to keep following him. We want to see what else he can do. We want to really get to know him. So they kept following him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Now, the disciples, they're realists, or some could say pessimists. But it seems to be that they're just examining the situation as it is. We're out in the middle of nowhere. It's getting dark. There's no food around here. You can't go to Chick-fil-A. It's Sunday. They're closed. All the other examples that could possibly be, right? There's nowhere to go. And what's about to happen is this multitude, who we know includes men, women, and children, they're about to go hungry. And, you know, you think, well, maybe they could have gone without a meal, but you have to remember the Bible says that they walked on foot from their town. And so they are far away. And not only that, apparently there were some that were sick among them. Jesus cured their sick. So there's great need among this multitude. We know that. And first off, if you have a toddler, you know that you're going to need food in about 30 minutes anyways. So, right, there's a great need here. How are they going to meet the need? What's going to happen? And the disciples do what most of us do. They examine, well, here's what we have. Here's what's about to happen. It's dark. We've got to work this out. But Jesus shows them something different. Jesus said to them, "They need not go away." I love that scripture. They need not go away. While the disciples wanted to shoo them away, Jesus said, but no, they don't need to go away. "You give them something to eat." I love that Jesus put it back on the disciples. He tells them, "You give them something to eat." Well, they just very well said, "We don't have anything. It's dark. It's a deserted place." And they replied, and watch what the disciples say here in verse 17. "We have nothing here." They say, "We have nothing here." And then they add, "But 5 loaves and 2 fish. So basically they said, this isn't worth anything. But 5 loaves and 2 fish. This can't do anything. So Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, it seems to be in, we're not going to read it quite yet, but just to give you a heads up, in Matthew chapter 15, 3 days have gone by, and Jesus is once again in a similar situation, and people are hungry, and they say, "We don't have anything here. Where are we going to get food from? There's nowhere to go." And so Jesus takes 7 loaves of bread, and he multiplies it to feed 4,000. And so then they're filled and blessed. And we're going to come back to that in a few moments. But here in this this setting here, we might as well conclude, estimated at least probably between the two of these 5,000, not including women and children. So you might as well say 10,000 people, plus he does it again. You're probably looking at about, Jesus has fed 20,000 people within 3 days. He's fed a multitude. And he's done it with excellence in such a way that even the disciples had baskets full to eat afterwards. 12 baskets the first time and 7 the last time. So they had to share on the 4,000 go around. This is a miracle that they had not seen yet. They had seen Jesus take care of illnesses. They had seen Jesus do other miracles that caused them to look at physical ailments. But this was a miracle of provision that they had never seen before. They hadn't seen Jesus take bread and fish and multiply it to feed a multitude. They hadn't seen Jesus touch what was a seemingly lifeless and then give it to feed many people. But for the Israelites, this was an absolute, perhaps a moment of recalling the great provision throughout the wilderness, how God would provide for them over and over again. And the same God who provided manna in the wilderness was now providing them bread here in this other wilderness that they were in. It was a way to recall the faithfulness of God, to look back and see, yes, God provided for you before, but now Jesus is here and he's providing for you right now. It was a way for them to know that following after Jesus is not in vain, that trusting in him and going after him into a deserted place where there's no one to be found, there's no food to be found, there's nothing there, but going after Jesus is not in vain. And the result is the multitude, here they are in the wilderness, and they have a great need before Jesus. They not only have sicknesses that Jesus cures, but they have a physical need that is before them. And so just want to talk to you a few things about my help, about you being able to say to the Lord who your help is. My help is Jesus. Not just something that we quote to help us feel good through a situation, but something that we get deep down inside of our heart and we believe by faith that I know who my help is. I know where my provision comes from. I know who is my sustenance. I know that inside of me is this deep spiritual need that I have every day of my life that I'm going to wrestle through and deal with. And unless Jesus meets it, I will continue to be in a helpless state. And so just a few things here. The first thing is very simple, but it's oftentimes the simplest things that we forget is this, is Jesus knows our need. It's amazing to me how often I've even done this myself, many times in my life, that somehow I think that Jesus isn't aware of what I'm going through. That somehow I operate in such a way of worry and fear and distrust that I operate in a way that says, Jesus must not have a clue about what I'm going through. So let me try to spin all the possible plates I can to make something happen. That's what the disciples were doing. They did not realize that standing before them, before Jesus even got in the boat to get to the shore, that Jesus knew that there was a multitude who would be before him, that would come to him, and that would have a great need. Sicknesses and physical needs. And so Jesus' response to them is, they need not go away. What they needed was not food. What they needed was not healing. What they needed was not to go away from Jesus. And then the rest would be taken care of. It's the principle that Jesus draws them back to in the Sermon on the Mount. And this 5,000 and the 4,000 is really an echo of what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6. Why are you worrying about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. If the lilies of the field, they're clothed, and the birds of the air, they're taken care of, why would you worry about tomorrow? Don't worry about it. It has its own troubles. Today is enough. And so he tells them, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And what Jesus was doing in the Sermon on the Mount, and really what he's doing before this multitude, is he's speaking to a people that live in continual worry and fear. They're people who don't have the way to provide for themselves. They're people who don't have a way to meet their needs going on. They have Roman presence. They have the heaviness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They don't have the ways that oftentimes would be necessary. They were supposed to go to the temple to be taken care of, but this was abused, and so they were lost out most of the time. And to see hungry people was not uncommon. And what they needed more than anything was to not go away from Jesus. Why? Because Jesus knows our need. The Bible says in one example, when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, the Bible says that he knew their thoughts. Before they even said a word, Jesus was well aware of what was going through their mind. And I say all of that to encourage you today. Is that Jesus knows our need and knows exactly what we're dealing with inside. Listen, it is a human thing that when you recognize your need, that there is a sense of survival that kicks in that may lead to worry or fear that says, how am I going to meet this need? We're built with that, right? We're built with, I don't have food, so how do I go about? It's a part of who we are as humans, right? God put that in us so that we would survive and live. But as believers, now there's a different way. That survival instinct is not built to rest on ourselves. It's built to rest on Jesus. It's built to rest on the one who could take five loaves and two fish and multiply it to feed a multitude. Surely he can meet every need in our life. Surely he can take care of everything that is going on. And oftentimes, the greatest struggle that we have in this walk of life that we have with Jesus and recognizing Jesus as our help is just being able to acknowledge that he knows my need. It's just being able to say, but Lord, before I even prayed this to you, you knew well about it. Before I even got this out of my mouth, you were consumed about this and you knew what was going on. If Jesus is there counting the number of hairs on our head, don't you think he knows what needs is in your life? Don't you think he knows that? Yes, he does. He knows our need. Second thing I want to show you here is that Jesus, The Bible says that the disciples said to Jesus, we have nothing here. We have nothing here. Jesus knows our need, and Jesus also knows our helplessness. Jesus knows our helplessness. What the disciples did was that they were the realists, and they were confessing a truth that is universal to all creation. We have nothing. We have nothing here. In and of myself, I have nothing. In and of my own means, I have nothing. The job that I have, it's not because of me. The provision that I have, as much as I think I've worked hard and I've earned it, it's not because of me. The family that I have, as much as I think that God is, I've done it, it's the power of my result and all of the things in my life. No, I have nothing. We have nothing here. And while there is a sense of disbelief in what the disciples were stating, really it's a statement of truth that would help us recognize the source of who can provide our need is to acknowledge, I am helpless. I'm helpless. I'm helpless without the Lord. In my life, unless Jesus provides the grace that I need, unless his grace is sustaining me and sufficient for me day by day, I'm helpless. This mentality causes us to live in a mindset of prayer. When you realize that I have nothing, that in and of myself, I can't earn my salvation. It's given to me by Jesus. There's nothing in my own ability, but all that I have is because of the Lord. That mindset will keep you living in a lifestyle of prayer because you recognize, and I recognize, who can meet my helplessness, and it's Jesus. As much as we may think we've got it all together, woe unto you, woe unto me. Pride comes before the fall, right? The truth is that we are all helpless. The Bible says, and like gone astray. Jesus went on in that sermon to teach a people in Sermon on the Mount, those people who were worrying and living and fear, blessed are the poor in spirit. He didn't say in means, in what they have. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What was Jesus saying to them? He was saying, those who live, that word poor can also be translated pauper. Those who live in such a way before Jesus, like one who is a beggar, continually coming before him, continually seeking after him, theirs is the kingdom of God. God will meet their need. God will supply their need. In spiritual terms, you and I are intended to live like children that come before our Father, always bringing our need to him in a sense of helplessness. When my daughter comes to me, and she's got this new little flashlight that you put a wheel in it and it spins and it puts pictures on the wall. And she's done this thing recently where she pulls it out, but she can't get it back in. And she screams and screams until you help her, put it back in. And I just tell her, stop taking it out. But she just keeps doing it, right? She doesn't know better. It's that sense of you're continually, you're going before Jesus. It pushes you. And I've discovered that oftentimes when I have forgotten my sense of helplessness is the moments that I've lived the furthest away from the Lord. When you stop realizing that without Jesus, I can't even make it tomorrow, it's the moment that you and I begin to just wander and idle on our own. They were fixated on the nothing that they had, but they overlooked Jesus. Jesus knows our need. He knows our helplessness. And this next thing is, I want you to take a notice of, is he said to them, bring them here to me. Jesus knows our need. He knows our helplessness, but he also knows how to meet our need. He knows how to meet our need. And I know that sometimes we say that and that sounds so simple, but how often it is when life gets hard, right? You've been there, I've been there. When life gets hard and we think, how is this going to work out? And we're scratching our head, we're worrying, we're fearful, we're afraid. It's anxiety, panicking, all the possible things. But we forget that Jesus knows how to meet our need. And we disacknowledge this fact here is that Jesus told them, bring them here to me. What the disciples were doing, what they was continually looking at the bread and the fish, they were looking at their nothingness. But what Jesus wanted them to do was to look at Jesus who could take care of their nothingness. They were fixated on we don't have, but Jesus said, stop looking on that. I'm paraphrasing. Bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. Come to Jesus. Rely on Jesus. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord and in all your ways, acknowledge him. This is what Jesus wanted. Bring them here to me. And what might have seemed like a simple walk over and hand it over to Jesus is oftentimes the hardest journey for most of us. It's recognizing, yes, I know I have a need. I know I'm helpless, but it's that getting it to Jesus that is a struggle. Because every distraction in the world will come up. Every other solution in the world will come up. Well, why don't you go about it this way? Why don't you do it this way? When really it's just a matter of humbling ourselves and saying, Jesus, here it is. Here it is. Here's my need. When Hezekiah got the papers back that he was about to be overcome, what did he do? The Bible says that he spread it out and he laid it out before the Lord. And what a beautiful picture of the way prayer is ought to be is that when there is need, what we do is we bring it to Jesus. We lay it out before the Lord. Don't take a moment to worry about it. Don't take a moment to have anxiety about it. Instead, bring it to Jesus. And isn't this the story of the Christian life? Is that we bring our nothing to Jesus and he blesses it to bless others. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 says it this way about Abraham. The Bible says, for this reason, the promise depends on faith in order that it may rest on grace so that it may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. He says, as it is written, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed. Now watch what this says. In the presence of God in whom Abraham believed. Who gives life? Now, just to be careful here, because this is a mistake oftentimes with misinterpreting this text, is sometimes we like to think that it's us or Abraham who gives life. But no, that's not the way the direct object's working here. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead? And does what? And calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations. So your descendants shall be. Oftentimes there is this mentality in Christian life today, in Western Christianity, that thinks you go ahead. And you call the things into existence as though they should be. Though the Bible says it's not you who does it. It's not me who does it. Who does it? God does it. God is the one who works it out. And there is this sense of if you can do it, then why would you need the Lord? And that's what the Bible is trying to show us here, is that Abraham trusted that God could do it. Abraham had faith that God could give life to the dead, that God could call the things into existence that were not yet to be. And this is what he's trying to show us, is that yes, Jesus knows how to meet our need. And though it seems like there is, how are you going to feed 10,000 people? It doesn't exist. It doesn't work out. It doesn't logically make sense. But somehow Jesus did what did not make sense and worked supernaturally. And isn't it wonderful to know that how Jesus meets our need, how grace works, and how God watches out for us is not determined by our understanding of who God is? Isaiah said it this way: who has known the mind of the Lord? And who has been able to instruct him? None of us have. And when you can look at a need and say, I have no clue. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how God's going to come through. Those are the moments when you've acknowledged it's beyond me and it's up to the Lord. Have you ever had a situation in your life like that? Things that, I don't know, Lord, how this is going to work out, but I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to believe you. The wonderful thing is that that is the type of person, Jesus doesn't turn them away. No, he knows how to meet our need. Bring them here to me. He takes it. He multiplies it. He feeds a multitude as the musicians come. And I want to leave you with this. Jesus knows our need. He knows our helplessness. He knows how to meet our need. And then lastly, this is important. Jesus knows our forgetfulness. Jesus knows our forgetfulness. The Bible says 3 days had gone by and there they were in the wilderness again. In the wilderness again. And guess what happened? 3 days went by. They didn't have food 3 days earlier and they didn't hit the grocery store on the way. Guess what happened again? They got hungry again. They had need again. Isn't that just a little side truth here? Is that our need, it never goes away. It's always there. But look who is always there as well. And this next moment, the Bible says that the disciples said, and I had to read this a few times to think, you know, maybe Matthew, when he wrote the gospel, maybe he didn't put it in sequential order. Maybe this was put before and forgot, and because it seems so obvious that how they could forget, but they did. They said, where are we to get enough bread? And in my mind, I'm thinking, how are you asking that? And then I have to be convicted of myself and how I've done that. I have a need, and 3 days later, I'm saying, how are we gonna take care of this? And it is in order, because Jesus is gonna teach on it in just a moment, all together, we'll see that. They said, where are we to get enough bread in the desert to feed so great a crowd? This crowd wasn't even as big as the other crowd. And Jesus, once again, blessed it, broke it, multiplied it, and fed a multitude. So then a few days go by again. And they're walking, just the disciples, the crowd has been dismissed. And now the disciples are walking along the road with Jesus. And in Matthew 16, I think Matthew's trying to make a point here, right? Matthew 14, 15, 16, he's talking about the same miracle 3 times. And they're walking down the road and Jesus is trying to teach them about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples are stuck on the fact that they didn't bring any bread. And so he says in Matthew 16 and 7, he says, they have said to one another, it is because we have brought no bread. And Jesus responded and becoming aware of it, you of little faith, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How could you fail to perceive that I was not speaking about bread? And he goes on and he gets to what he was really trying to teach them about. But if this isn't evidence enough that we are forgetful, that there they were 3 days removed, they forgot. Another few days removed, and they still forgot that Jesus could meet their need. And they're walking around with no bread, and there they are. Jesus is teaching about yeast, and they think, oops, we didn't bring any more bread. And they've got consumed with the fact that we have nothing. And they're looking at what we have nothing. Nothing, we're helpless, and they're forgetting the fact that they are with Jesus, the one who supplies bread, the one who meets their need, who has met their need, and is going to keep meeting their need. Jesus knows our forgetfulness. And he knows that sometimes because we're forgetful, we need reminders that he sees our need. My friend, you think God doesn't see my need. He doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know what I'm dealing with. He doesn't know the struggle and the things that I'm facing. If he did, why would I be going through any of this? Oh, but look, that's how the enemy wants you to think. He wants you to forget that his God is the one who provides. He wants you to be convinced that there is no other help for you. You're lost. You're hopeless. It's coming down. Destruction on your head. This is the end, right? That's the way the enemy wants us to think. But when you live in a sense that says, Jesus knows my need. He knows I'm helpless. And he knows how to meet my need. That person, what they do is they rest before God. They're at peace. They're still. There have been people in my life and I thought, everything that's going on in your life, you're that way. Why? Because I'm trusting in Jesus. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. I want to leave you with this, Psalm 121. The Bible says this song, as the people of Israel would march along and they would be moving about, going day to day from city to city, town to town, they had a song that they would sing. And this is a song that I think we need to sing again in our hearts. I lift up my eyes to the hills, Psalm 121. From where will my help come? Notice what the psalmists do here is they acknowledge, where's my help gonna come from? They acknowledge, we've got a need, we're helpless. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out when you leave the city and when you come back in. From this time on and forevermore. Notice the psalmist realized, even when we go from our place of comfort and safety, when we leave the walls of Jerusalem and we go somewhere that we are unfamiliar, it's new territory, no, the Lord will keep your going out, and even when you come back, until then, from this time on and forevermore. My brother, my sister, can I just encourage you this morning? If the Bible says there's one who neither slumbers nor sleeps and promises to be our keeper, don't you lose sleep about it. Don't you get caught up in worry and fear. The enemy uses worry and fear to box us in, to grip us, to keep us living in such a way, to move our eyes away from Jesus and keep looking and say, but I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. I've only got this. I've only got that. I can't. And it's this constant obsession of what you don't have in the nothingness. And as long as you keep focusing on the nothingness, you'll never realize that Jesus is able to meet all of our needs, to provide for us, to take care of us. Most importantly, the deep spiritual need that we have every day. To say to him, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It's not coming from my bank account. It's not coming from my job. It's not coming from my family member. It's not coming from the promise that someone has given to me. No, my help comes from the Lord. And can we just pray this morning that this would get deep down inside of us so when that storm comes, when the need comes, you and I, we're not running around wondering, how is this going to work out? There's a sense of saying like Abraham, but I trust in the one who can call those things into existence that do not even exist. God will supply and meet all of our needs. Would you close your eyes with me? As you stand as well, I'm going to ask the choir to go ahead and come. My friend, I just felt impressed this morning to encourage you. look to Jesus today. Put your eyes upon him. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's challenging. But better than what any person can know is what Jesus knows. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. Look to him today. Call on him today. You think, I don't know how this is going to work out. Listen, it's not up to us to figure that out. It's up to Jesus. It's not up to us to try to plot it all out in our mind and get all the solutions together and present it to the Lord and say, God, you could do it this way or that way. Or no, that's not up to us. Faith is faith. You're either going to trust Jesus or you're not. And we're going to say, Lord, you're able or you're not able. And the best thing that you and I can do is do like Jesus told those disciples. Bring it to him. Bring it to him. Don't hold it back. Just bring it. Don't come up with excuses. Just bring it. Just lay it at his feet. Here it is, Jesus. And this morning you say, that's me, Charlie. I have a need in my life. I need to bring it to Jesus. Can we, would you just come this morning and stand here at the front? And together, can we bring our need before? Maybe you've got a family member in your life you're concerned about. They're away from Jesus. They need him. And you think, how is he going to bring? Don't worry about that. Just bring them to him. Would you come this morning? Just stand. Maybe there's some other need in your life. You need God to provide. You need God for healing, whatever it might be. Can you just come this morning? Just stand. We're going to be a people. We're going to bring what we have. Nothing. That's the irony of it all. We're bringing our nothingness, and Jesus is able to make it into something. Just come this morning. All together, we're going to come today. Maybe you say to me, Charlie, I have great spiritual need. I need Jesus in my life. I find I go day from day living in worry and fear about my future, about what's up ahead. Today is the day of salvation for you. Don't wait another moment. I need you, Jesus. Come this morning, come. As they come, maybe there's some dear brothers and sisters want to gather around them and just pray for them, encourage them. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that even before we opened our mouth with our need, you knew about it, Lord. You knew in all way how worry and fear had gripped us. Lord, you knew. And so, Lord, this morning, we bring it to you today, Jesus. We surrender it to you this morning, Lord. Lord, we're not going to live in worry with it anymore. We're going to bring it to you, Jesus. And the one who knows our need also knows how to meet our need. And so, Lord, we're not going to present solutions to you. We're going to let you be the solution. You're going to work it out how you see fit, Lord. So, Father, we pray today, all of our needs, we give it to you today, Lord. Lord, help us to not forget. Lord, help us to not forget your faithfulness, Lord. Help us to not get later in the week and forget. But God provided for my need before. He'll do it again. God, remind us. Holy Spirit, work through us to remind us. Help us to remember your faithfulness, Lord. May the Holy Spirit bring you to our remembrance, Lord. And may in turn, may we praise you for your faithfulness, Lord. We bless your name today. We bless your name today, Lord Jesus. Come on, would you just praise him today? He provides, he makes a way. We bless you, Lord, today. We bless your name today, Lord Jesus. We rebuke the devourer, Lord. We rebuke worry and fear, Lord Jesus. We rebuke condemnation in the name of Jesus today. We bless your name today. We look to you, Jesus. We have nothing, Lord, but you have everything, Lord. We thank you today, Lord Jesus. We bless you today, Lord. All to you, Jesus. All the praise, Lord. Not to us, Lord. Not to how it's going to work out for me. No, to you be the glory. To you be the honor, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless your name today, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, maybe you need to thank him for how he's going to meet our needs. Maybe you need to praise him for how he's going to work it out. We bless you, Jesus. By faith, Lord, we trust you today. By faith, Lord, we trust you this morning, Lord. By faith, we lean on you, not on our own understanding, O God. Who has known the mind of the Lord to instruct him? O God, we thank you today. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name today, Lord. Let's sing this song today. All together, let's sing it from our heart.